Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Bring in our buddy Charles Davis. Been a little bit, but he is a good friend of the show, and he was doing the Falcons and the Packers, so he was at Chili and Lambeau yesterday. Hey, I guess Aaron Rodgers wanted to play football again, huh, Charles, now that he got McCarthy fired, right? What's going on, man?
I don't know how you guys are doing. I don't think that's a storyline Aaron would endorse.
No. But,
they obviously got it done and got one of those games you can exhale a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a crazy week for them, which obviously started with losing at home to Arizona, which is something that should not happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the momentum was already building. And look, been a lot of discussions about whether firing Mike McCarthy is the right thing, the timing, all of that. And it's all healthy debate. Where I stand on it is, if they had made the decision they were going to fire him, if they weren't going to make the playoffs or whatever it was, and it looked pretty bleak, what must be done eventually should be done immediately.
Yeah.
And I just was not a fan of the whole idea. I am absolutely in the opposite camp of they took his dignity from him. I don't think they did. I think in a lot of ways they preserved it. Could you imagine him this week? Well, you just beat Atlanta. You have a 0.053% chance of making the playoffs. But if you don't, Mike, what about your job security?
Yeah.
All right. And imagine another 3 weeks of that.
Yeah.
I just didn't think that was good for him. It wasn't good for the organization. And last thing I'll say is that conversation he had with the team last week, the conversation where he came back and talked to the staff, he initiated both of those. He asked to be able to come back and do that through the GM, Brian Gutekunst, through interim head coach Joe Philbin. And, of course, they granted that, which was terrific. And I think it worked well for both sides,
yeah,
frankly.
No, Charles, that's kind of unprecedented. You never hear that kind of good blood between someone who's just been fired. But the question I have for you is
real quick. Can I ask you something real quick, though? Because you as a player sat in there for these types of, you know, whether it was an absolute fire. But here's my question. Because I've had a number of people roll up to me, like, because they heard about the talk and they heard about the team giving a standing ovation.
Yeah.
And people took that as, yeah, what else were they supposed to do? And I was like, you haven't been in the locker room? If they genuinely did not like that person,
yeah, they would have walked out.
Help me with this.
Yeah.
Would there have been a standing up?
No, they would have walked out. They wouldn't have cared because it wouldn't have mattered because it didn't affect anything. We had a similar situation with Jim Fossil when we knew he was going to get fired. He got up in front of us and told us with 3 or 4 weeks to go, this is going to be my last season coaching. And we knew it was kind of our fault. Injuries had derailed us. And we felt bad for him because, like, we felt like we had let him down. I think that's likely, other than Aaron Rodgers, the feeling, the sentiment. But the question I have for you, Charles, is Joe Philbin took over the play calling. And from your perspective, because, one, you had a conversation with Aaron. You had a conversation with Joe Philbin, because that's what happens for those who don't know who do when you do these production meetings. And then you witnessed it on the field. Could you see a discernible difference in and how the offense was being run, or was it just executed better?
No, I didn't see a discernible difference. I didn't see where in 1 week's time Joe Philbin put his stamp on the Packers offense and things were different. Go back, you know, for anyone, go back and watch the game tape and watch the ball being thrown a bunch against a defense that is susceptible to the run in a big way. Aaron Jones didn't get his first real touches until like 3 series in, which was surprised me. But my partner Kevin Burkhardt said, hey, maybe they wanted to use Jamal Williams. If they knew they were going to throw the ball early, keep him out there for pass protection, which is a plausible deal. But I didn't see any of that. And I actually joked during the game because Joe was calling plays, Joe Philbin, and you know how everybody pulls the card up to their, you know, to their mouth to call things in, so you can't read lips. Joe's just calling it. He's had the card down by his waist, and he's calling them in. And guys, this is the first time he's called plays in an NFL game that was regular season.
Ever.
He's done a little bit in preseason games. His last full-time play calling was at Northeastern University.
Yeah, we talked about 1996, right?
Yes. So him doing that, but here's what he told us, and I thought it was a smart play on his part. He said, I'm taking this and I'm going to my job is to get a play called as quickly and with as much confidence as possible, get it in, and kind of convince the team this is the right play call because I'm being decisive. And then Aaron is out there, obviously, taking in the play call. And Joe Philbin did tell us, he said, listen, if I get off the rails, I've got a few assistants who can help me out. And I just kind of laughed at myself, like, you don't need the assistants. Aaron will take care of that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a non-issue. If the system goes down, Aaron's going to call the game anyway. So it's not that big of a deal in terms of that. But you know, it's a long-winded way of saying nothing changed on Sunday. They played better.
Okay, I want to go back to this. Talk to Charles Davis, Fox Sports NFL analyst, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney. He was at Lambeau. He had the Packers-Falcons. Got a question for you on Dan Quinn in a little bit as well. But
and
when I brought you in, I know it's kind of the low-hanging fruit, and I know that there's always nuance, and there's stories that not everybody knows. I'm not privy to everything. I get that.
Right.
So when it's positioned, you know, Rodgers got McCarthy fired, it's kind of lazy, and it's not necessarily accurate. I understand that. But he is a little diva-ish. He is incredibly sensitive. He's a little passive-aggressive. He's a little surly. Aaron Rodgers is different. And Aaron Rodgers is a little complicated. And you know, Aaron Rodgers, on some level, if he didn't grease the skids from McCarthy, he certainly didn't throw any salt down to melt the ice, right? I mean, he could have been better.
You know, he could have been a lot more public. You know,
yeah.
If he felt it, and there was a declaration, if Aaron Rodgers jumps up in front of a press conference and says, "You know, I love Mike McCarthy, he's my guy," it quells everything. He didn't do that. You know, he had his reasons for that, and I'm not here to say, like you said, we're not privy to everything behind the scenes, what's right, what's wrong, all that other stuff. But I go through time in my head, and I thought about this, and we didn't talk about it all during the game, but we've been around. And been in my lifetime, a bunch of incredibly great players that you'd better meet them at their level in terms of intelligence and IQ for their game. And if you don't, sometimes it just goes south. Mm. I don't think that was the case with Aaron and Mike McCarthy. I don't think all of a sudden Mike McCarthy couldn't think, and Aaron's like, I can't deal with that part. I just think that sometimes, after a certain amount of time, you just don't work through your differences the way you used to.
Yeah.
Okay. That's just my own personal opinion.
Okay.
And I look at Andy Reid in Philadelphia, and I look at a few other places. I remember Paul Westhead getting whacked by Magic Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Paul, you know? Yeah. Before Riley.
And Magic looked like the nicest guy you've ever seen in your life.
Oh, yeah.
But you mess with his basketball? Mm. Oh, you got a tiger on the tail.
Yeah.
So we've been through this so many different ways and times. I personally think that Aaron does respect Mike McCarthy. But I don't believe that whatever their differences were and how to go about doing things, that they just found middle ground anymore.
Yeah.
And 13 years in,
time to move on.
It happened.
Yeah. Okay.
It happened.
Fair enough.
I thought you were going to make a Kyrie Irving, Ty Lue, I'd rather have Brad Stevens conversation.
No. That's a whole different deal right there.
Yeah, I hear you. Let's move over to the Atlanta Falcons because, look, we know the reason for their fall. It's the injuries. It's been devastating. But despite that, I mean, there were moments where they looked okay offensively.
Yeah.
But it can't all be explained, Matt Ryan's bad interceptions, some of these things over the last couple of weeks. It can't all be explained by injuries. What's going on there?
They can't block anyone. I mean, that offensive line, unfortunately, can't move people, can't create space in the run game. I was watching them getting ready. I was watching them against Baltimore. And you guys know Baltimore's pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
So fourth and one, they decide to go for it out near midfield. And Jim Nance does a really nice thing talking about analytics. And, the analytics people say you need to go for it more on fourth down. This is, you know, blah, 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 blah. And Tony Romo, before the snap, says, not with this offensive line, you shouldn't. And they ran the ball and got killed and turned the ball over on down.
Yeah.
So what Tony's point is, analytics work fine if everything's equal. But they don't work fine if you've got that line and you're going to try and run the ball.
Yeah.
To me, the left tackle, Jake Matthews, the center, Alex Mack, are the only two that you're not looking to replace right now.
Oh, wow. Is Dan Quinn going to feel any heat, or is he getting a pass?
Well, Arthur Blank, the owner, came out a week ago and said that he and Thomas Dimitroff, the GM, have his full confidence and they're going to get this thing figured out. I think in a lot of cases we would roll our eyes and say, well, there's your kiss of death. The owner gave you the vote of confidence.
See ya.
But with Mr. Blank, I don't believe that at all. I think he pretty much tells you how it is from his perspective and goes on. And I even asked a couple of Falcon staffers. I said, this is going to sound crazy, but with the Atlanta United winning the MLS, will that be a problem? Because Mr. Blank owns them as well.
Yeah. I was getting ready to go there, Charles.
On the surface, but think about it. You guys know there are some owners out there that if they had the soccer team that won, they'd be in the office of the head football coach the next day going, how come we're not winning at the same rate?
Yeah.
I don't think they're getting that from Mr. Blank. The indication was he knows we have the problems on our side, but he's not saying, well, we did it on one side. How come you don't do it on the other? He knows that they're two different situations.
For those who missed that, Atlanta United's MLS team, they won the championship over the weekend as well.
Mm-hmm. And poor Mr. Blank, Saturday night, he is hoisting a trophy signifying the best of that league, right? We got a shot of him on Sunday at Lambeau sitting with Thomas Dimitrov looking out, and it almost begged one of those bubbles over his head going, was it just last night we won the whole thing in soccer? What am I watching? Cause, you know, the very next day they're getting jumped on. But it's not just injuries with Atlanta. I just don't think that offensive line can help and keep you in any sort of balance running the ball.
Yeah.
You know, the run numbers have just continued to decline. They had some decent runs yesterday, the best ones they've had in weeks. But overall, they've got to overhaul that part of the team. But I don't think they're very far off. I really don't. A bunch of injuries on defense killed them. And if they can get overhauled on the offensive line and go, you guys know how it is in this league.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to tell me you're going to find a lot better than Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Muhammad Sanu, Tevin Coleman, Devontae Freeman when he gets back.
Hooper.
Austin Hooper.
Yep. Yeah, Hooper's good. No, I hear you. Listen, Matt's had a good season. Matt's numbers, I know, last week or
at one point, they were better than his MVP year.
That's where I was going to go, Charles. You beat me to it. His numbers across the board, he's not the issue. They've got to fix a few things in the offseason. Speaking of the offseason, final thing for me, Charles Davis with us here on Tiki and Tierney. The offseason, there's no offseason for Reggie McKenzie, at least pertaining to what he's going to do for the Raiders. He got fired today. And listen, all season long, we heard that this was a marriage that was going south, and you have a 10-year contract. He's got the power. We knew who was going to lose the struggle. It was going to be Reggie McKenzie. But got to be honest with you, Charles. Not that John Gruden cares what we think or what I think, but the optics, you wait till you finally win a game, then you fire him. I just feel like – I'm not even saying Reggie was great, although I think he was certainly competent. I thought Reggie McKenzie deserved a little bit better from John Gruden. How about you?
Well – you know, again, without having the full understanding, I would say he deserved better from the organization. You know, look, we've been talking about this since John took the job. And you guys know, and I've told you before, and I'm going to say it again so that there's no misunderstanding. John's one of my best friends in the world, okay? So this is a difficult spot. Looking at it from him is once he went in as the head coach and got the 10-year deal, John's always been one that has been involved in personnel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when he was in Tampa and he had to struggle with Rich McKay?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, we've talked about
it. And John won that one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's never been an idea. Like, when you hire John Gruden, you're not just hiring a football coach unless you're putting it flat out in writing, John, you only coach football and we'll handle the rest of it. And I doubt he would sign that deal. John wants to be involved in all those aspects, and he has been. So guess what? It is his. You know, if that's the case, it's his. It's his to own, and it's his to fix, because you've given away some pretty good talent along the way. You've accumulated draft picks. This is better for Reggie, frankly, in a lot of ways. For me, it's like Mike McCarthy. This is going to happen.
Yeah.
Pick your time on when it's going to happen. And they told Reggie he could stay throughout. And like any person, Reggie's like, why would I do that? What's going to change, right?
Yeah, so people look at me cross-eyed in the hallway.
Yeah, well, you know, and it's just like
the
coach that gets fired and stays on. Uh-huh. You know, the guys aren't going to listen to you anymore.
Nah, you're right.
So yeah, why do it?
It looks pretty weak. I hear you. All right,
you
Charles.
Know, why do it? I just think Reggie's got a chance elsewhere. And remember, he stripped that team down the first time.
I know.
Got them to the playoffs. They regressed last year due to a lot of injuries. I thought they'd bounce back a lot quicker. I got fooled on that one.
Yeah. No, listen, I was out there when he was hired, when he was brought in, when Jason Campbell was his quarterback, and when they did when Hugh Jackson was coaching them, and then he got rid of everybody, and he definitely stocked the cupboards, brought in some pretty good players. They had all the wins.
You remember how he started, though? You remember how he started? He started doing it kind of like George Allen. See, I'm going to date myself here. Remember the first group of guys Reggie brought in were like the over-the-hill guys.
The veterans. Justin Tuck, right? The veterans.
Man, remember?
Yeah.
And that didn't work very well.
Nah, it didn't work. The quick fix rarely does.
Reggie's like, okay, draft, be judicious, and built up a pretty darn good team. And that team that got beat in the playoffs, they played with Connor Cook, who hadn't taken a snap all year because your 1 and 2 quarterbacks were out. They had no shot then. I thought they were in it for the long haul at that point. I feel bad, too. Remember, I went to school. Reggie and I were teammates at Tennessee, so this has been a tough day for me.
Yeah, I hear you.
Boy, personal angles everywhere with this Raiders situation, Charles. Jeez.
Yeah, I know. It was a tough one. John took the job. I was like, uh-oh.
I hear you. Hey, good catching up, buddy. Good job with Burkhart. We know Kevin forever, so you guys do a really good job.
Thank you. We appreciate that. He's absolutely tremendous. You guys take care of yourself. We'll talk to you later, Charles. Happy holiday season.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.